It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I did it.
Good.
Okay.
It's done.
No.
It's finished.
It started.
Oh.
See? It is tricky. Technically, the start is finished now. I mean, I did it, but it signified the beginning.
Well, there's exit from one place is an entrance to someplace else.
There's some powerful philosophical shit going on here. Hello, everyone. Every time I start, I look at the mic and it's got cat hair on it, and I'm like, I want to clean that off. But now is like the worst time because
yes,
it would make all the noise.
Too late.
Anyway, hello and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that's for your heart. Seriously, studies have shown that a daily consumption of an hour of this podcast can help prevent heart disease. Unfortunately, we record it weekly, so what you could do is save it up till you're old and prone to heart disease and then listen to it daily. I'm not a doctor.
Actually, we have enough of these. If you start at the beginning and you listen to them daily, once, you know, you got around the horn, you wouldn't remember what the first one was like anyway. You could probably do that for a couple of years before you
I don't know if that works. I mean, like I said, I'm not a doctor, but I know if I take a medicine and then poop it out later, I can't retake that medicine.
That's a very imperfect analogy,
anyway,
I'm sure.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 137.
So welcome, won't you? For those of you just joining us for the first time, the producer's in the bedroom, so she can't really hear us, so she can't say sorry this time. basic idea is that we have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address. What is that email address, I hear you asking?
You do?
I do.
Wow.
Weird. That email address is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. What? You didn't hear it? Well, let me say again. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com.
All kinds of magic going on.
Yes. People write into that email address. Topics, questions, comments, stuff like that. They sign their name if they want. If not, it's anonymous. And the hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them. We, inside of itself, we draw those out at random, read them, talk about them till we're bored for about an hour. That's the show.
That's it. We just show up, reach our hands inside, and by golly, there's some scraps of paper in there.
Every time I describe it, I feel a little sad.
Why?
I feel like there should be more to it. I don't know. It's like...
More to it?
No, yeah.
What more does there need to be?
I don't know. A dance number?
I mean, who?
Something.
Who else has a hat...
Celebrity guests.
...that every time they approach it and put their hand in there, they pull out something that wasn't in there before, that they didn't put in there, that magically appeared...
I feel like Elton John might.
Oh.
If somebody was gonna, like... But he doesn't do a podcast that I know of.
Okay, we'll see. There's that.
Yeah. So, then we're here. Before we get into anything, we have a promise to fulfill. Actually, before that, we even have a different thing. Those of you who are early adopters to each episode, currently Steam... has a sale going till noon tomorrow. That would be noon on Friday, October 25th. Gone Home, the game I consider such a big deal, we named an episode about it, is on sale for half price. So it's only $10.
Wow.
So for those of you who are too cheap at $20, go check it out. And I'm willing, here's the deal. I'm willing to put this out here. If you are a known listener or one of the lurker listeners, but somebody I actually know, and you buy this game and you play the whole thing through and you can honestly tell me you don't think it was worth $10, now, from now till the end of the year, anybody who can honestly tell me that, I will pay you $10 myself. I will give you $10 back.
Wow.
So there is no risk here. I'm not even saying you have to say you liked it or you didn't like it. If you think it was not worth $10, if had I known, I would not have spent $10 on it, I will give you $10 back. You got to be somebody I know, either through the podcast or in general, and the honor system here. You have to honestly tell me. You played the whole thing, didn't think it was worth it. But anybody, till the end of the year, end of 2013, I will pay you $10.
Some restrictions to apply.
Just the ones I mentioned.
Right.
And also, if enough people did it, the timeliness could slow down if I run out of money. But I don't. I'm confident. I don't think it's going to be an issue.
Wow, clearly you're confident.
Okay. So, Gone Home. Go to steampowered.com and buy it for $10 if you haven't already got it. It's awesome. Relatively new listener, Sean, bought it yesterday. He discovered it on his own. He says he might not be able to play it anytime soon, but he did buy it. So, all right, we have Promise to Keep, which is that anybody that we forgot to cast in our last episode that mentioned it on the blog, we need to talk about now. And there were two such individuals.
Mm-hmm.
One was Sue. Very sorry, Sue. Sue wanted Judy Dench. I don't think that's right. Judy Dench, I love Judy Dench. I feel like she has a very specific range. I don't feel that that captures some of the nuances that are Sue. So I was trying to decide amongst Helen Mirren, Emma Thompson, and Diane Wiest, which I can't even explain why exactly Diane Wiest. Something about her gives me a Sue vibe.
Well, I certainly agreed with your reasoning and some of your choices.
Only some of my choices. Oh.
Well, because I mean, not that any of your choices were bad choices. It's just some of them just really, like Emma Thompson, for example. I think that one really struck me as being, oh yeah, I think Emma Thompson could do that.
I think Emma Thompson could pull off a really good Sue.
Yeah. But not that the other choices that you mentioned couldn't. It's just they didn't just strike me as, oh yes, that sounds good. But Emma Thompson pretty much does. Yeah, she's got quite a bit of range, as you said.
Jazz suggested Dave Chappelle for herself. I like that idea.
I saw that.
I like that idea. By the way, several people were horrified that you didn't know who Dave Chappelle was, including me.
Why should I know that?
Because he's very famous.
Lots of people are famous that I don't know.
And that's horrifying.
Okay, well.
And then Dave of Id got on there and made his own suggestion, which I also disagreed with, but I don't recall what it was now.
David Duchovny.
David Duchovny, yes. No, it doesn't seem...
That's funny because when I saw his name and I thought, oh gosh, we need to cast him, before I even saw what his choice was, I thought of David Duchovny.
No.
You don't think so?
I had somebody that he very specifically reminds me of. Reminds me of. I can't remember who that was now, though. No, I want somebody who's a little more personable than David Duchovny.
I see what you're saying. I get that.
Gritty about David Duchovny.
I get that.
I don't... But still, I mean, in that vein, the guy who would audition for similar parts to David Duchovny. Back in his heyday, Tom Hulce, I think, could have done a good David. Paul Rudd, I think. maybe a little bit more comedic, but Paul Rudd frequently plays a sort of straight man vibe, and I think David can do that, and David is quite witty in a way that Paul Rudd pretends to be in things. I don't know Paul Rudd. I don't know that he's witty himself.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I thought Duchovny, but I mean, I get what you're saying.
I don't like what you're saying. I don't like that.
David's definitely a much warmer personality. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Not. I don't. Maybe that's not the right way to describe it. But
personable is the word, but that's not quite right either. There's just something sort of less. I don't know. There's a weird. It's sort of personable. It's sort of likable.
Yeah,
I understand that for a while now we're associated. I don't want to say, like, less skeevy or whatever, because David Duchovny has not always played parts like that. But there is a certain something to him or something lacking in him that David either has or does not, depending on which I mean.
I know what you're talking about.
And I don't think he'd pull it off right.
Although, you know, when he suggested that, I thought, what's her name? Jillian.
Jillian Anderson would make a good David?
Would make a good Robin, I thought.
Wait, who?
Robin. Isn't that, are we not talking about the same person? David's wife?
Oh, yes, sorry. She's not a listener. So
I don't know if she listens or not.
I'm pretty sure she did. She doesn't.
Okay.
Except when David forces her to listen to
it. Oh, okay. All right, then.
Oh.
Well, I wasn't sure how much Sue listened either. I might have thought of...
No, Sue definitely listens.
Okay.
Hence, she said...
Well, I knew she listened on occasion, but I wasn't
sure. She's written in and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Adam Scott, with a little work, could do a good David. Hmm. I don't... Oh, who do I see for Robin? I didn't even think about Robin. Because she doesn't listen. I'm trying to think of one of... No. In my head, I'm going through actresses that are frequently in romantic comedies, and you don't know why they're sort of slumming in romantic comedies. The sort of Amy Adams, Reese Witherspoon back in the day. I mean, now that's all she does. So, but, you know, like, before that, I don't know. I'm going through those collections, and I don't know why.
I guess Amy Adams would be okay.
I'm not a huge fan
of Amy Adams, though, so.
Yeah.
But I like Robin, so I would want to cast somebody that I like.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like this one should be easy, but
no. One problem when I think of this is, you know.
What about, here's a little weird, but I think from some stuff it would be a stretch. I could see Uma Thurman too.
Oh, yeah.
Robin.
Well, I don't know how much of a stretch it would be. I mean,
not for. I think for Uma Thurman, I think it's a little bit outside of her.
Really?
Yeah. Her roles always seem more intense to me, and Robin's very chill and friendly.
Well, I think Uma could do
that. Ooh, no, but I just thought of what's sort of a chill and friendly version of Uma. Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz
could do a very good Robin.
Yeah. I guess so.
And it's weird that I've now made that association, that when you make a more relaxed, approachable version of Uma Thurman, you get Cameron Diaz. That's weird. All right. I'm tired.
Okay.
So let's move on. How was your week?
Oh, well, you know, it was good, I guess. I don't remember very much about it. I mean, got some work done. I have to...
like plastic surgery?
No. I thought
your eyes looked a little tighter.
More work on the script before it's we're having our second read through and
yes,
a week from Sunday.
Oh, yes. I wanted to talk about that.
Oh. Now or?
Yes.
Oh.
what else is happening that weekend?
What else?
There is... I'm telling you what else. I'm not asking.
Oh.
What else is... Something else is happening that weekend.
Oh, well, tell me what it is.
Weekend Azurtown's going to be here.
Oh.
I wondered if people are interested if we could find a way to combine, to get maybe some of the local people who want to also either like before or after rehearsal to visit him.
Well, that'd be all right. I mean, I'd be up for that.
But the timing is tricky. We're talking, is what, like 1:30 to 4?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
1:30 is the start, right?
Yeah, 1:30, if I recall.
So I don't know if earlier or later is better.
Yeah, that's hard to say. Earlier would be really tricky for us, I think.
And normally for me, because I wake up at 11 on the weekends.
Oh.
Hi, Izzy. You're very person.
But
you guys can't hear it, but she's purring real loud.
But later would... work for
like
us
afterwards,
yeah,
or like me, four, and then go visit and then maybe get dinner or something. That could work. I mean, that pretty much fills up that night, but that could be a thing. So, well, okay, how about this? You double check with your household.
Okay.
But tentatively, you and me and presumably your household will say we're gonna do that.
Okay.
And then other people, if they want to, it would be helpful to let us know first.
Hmm.
But you don't have to, but you'll be there. So you can come with if you want. Yeah, I don't know how huge a group we should have.
Yeah, right. That,
to visit him.
That could get problematic if they got too big. But yeah, I'd look forward to seeing him.
Could speak to that if he listens to this episode in time.
Okay.
I'm hoping he'd be around there. He gets out faster and faster. So
yeah, the last time I was able to go with you, it wasn't even there.
Yeah, and he gets in like Thursday. But Sunday, usually he'd still be there. I don't know. I'll ask him about it. He can speak to that.
Okay.
But that could be cool.
So yeah, I've got to give the script another once over and then let everybody know it's ready to look at again or print or whatever.
I need to give some thought to my voice.
I've been, whenever I have a week where I'm doing the other podcast, it's pretty busy.
Oh, the other podcast, yes.
We did Romance Narratives on Grapevine, which I encourage everyone to give that a listen. And tonight, Scott and I are going to record screenshots, and we're going to be discussing Batman Arkham video game series, because...
Oh, I just wanted to ask you if you played those.
No, but he has.
I'm kind of surprised. Well, I guess in your household, you'd be the one to play them, and you don't usually play.
Well, the thing is, when I looked at the... And I'm going to talk a little bit about this tonight, too. When I looked at the demos, I wasn't very impressed with how it looked.
I wasn't particularly either. A lot of people say it's arguably one of the best fighting engines out there. People are really impressed with how that controls.
Which doesn't do anything for me, but... I mean, I like Batman... I mean, I've played a number of Batman video games, and I like that a lot of them... You know, they have an aspect where... For a lot of the missions, you can sort of sneak your way through without having
this
a confrontation.
This one is much more of a brawler than a stealth thing.
But when it comes to Batman, as you know, I'm a pretty big fan, but when I was in college and I would go to see if I wanted to buy one of the Batman comic books, if I didn't like the art in it, I didn't care if the writer was someone who I thought wrote really great stories. If I didn't like the art, I just couldn't handle it.
And I'm exactly the opposite with comics. If I want the writing to be good, I care very little about the art.
Well, you'd think I'd be that way too, but I'm not. I mean, if the art isn't very good, I just can't deal with it.
Well, I think some of that may be that I was late to the comic thing. So to me, they're just like books that happen to have pictures.
I didn't like the look of it. I didn't like any of that. So I wasn't sure that I would like the story very much based on what I knew or the gameplay. So I didn't end up playing it, but Scott really loves them. So we're going to talk about the first two games, because there's a prequel sort of coming out.
I just saw a commercial for it tonight. It was very weird.
Which, I mean, that one looks a lot better. And I like a lot of things about it. It's made, it's being developed by a different company, and they've made a lot of changes to it. Also, in the first one, I wasn't sure how I'd feel about Mark Hamill voicing the Joker in a version of the Joker that I just can't get away from Mark Hamill's Joker being the animated series Joker.
So this Joker would look different, but it would have that voice.
And not just look different, but be darker, be edgier.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't sure. I don't know. Like, maybe using swear words and stuff or whatever. It's like, I can't. That doesn't work for me. You know, it to me, it would be like having Adam West voice Batman in the video game. It just would not work.
Oh, dude, I would have been all over that.
So
I should do that sometime. Total, like, Chris Nolan-style Batman, Frank Miller-type story, but Adam West does the voice.
But that, see, that's exactly what it seemed like when I saw the Joker in the demo, and it was Mark Hamill's Joker, and I thought, no, that just doesn't work for me. But anyway, so Scott will be talking about the game mostly, and I've done some research on it so I can ask him some reasonably sensible questions. So, you know, I've been doing a lot of that this week.
How is it for other podcasts you have the ability to ask reasonably sensible questions? But we've been doing this for years, and you can't manage to bring that.
Because I don't prepare for this podcast. That's the whole thing about this podcast, is we don't do anything to prepare. These other podcasts, I like do some research, and I even have note cards so I can remember names and stuff.
Guys, are any of you listening to his other ones? Is he better on those than here?
Well, no.
Is he?
I'm not.
Is he? Like, we've all known that he's been dragging down this podcast since day one, but I've always sort of pitied him and just assumed that was all the poor boy was capable of. If you have evidence that his ability to be interesting and baseline functional, dare I say entertaining on a podcast, you need to let me know, because he and I are going to have some words.
It's not like that. I don't forget things as readily, because I usually have little cheats. I mean, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about over here. So I can't bring a note card saying, okay, well, we're going to talk about this, so I better have a note card so I remember this name and I
guys,
don't have
let me
to
know.
Give up.
Let me know. I need you to be my investigative team. And tell me about it on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Tell me. It's one thing that we clearly apparently have an open broadcasting relationship at this point. But if he's better on those than here, if he's not giving me his A game, I want to know about this.
And also this week, after this week, we no longer have any minor children living in the house.
Oh, yeah.
There's two adult
That's right.
women and
you
one
guys,
adult man.
You guys didn't make it to Derby.
Derby?
It was this last Saturday.
Oh.
And she wanted to go because she would officially be 18 and could officially sit in the suicide seating.
Oh, really?
That thing came up at the rehearsal.
I hadn't talked to her about that. But she didn't turn 18 until Tuesday.
Well, then she would have been a big liar. So just 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, then she would have been a liar, and we would have had her arrested.
She's looking forward to voting in the upcoming Coralville City Council run, in the mayoral run.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
When
it's your first, you get excited over municipal elections.
She wanted to vote in the school board election, but it took place, obviously, earlier, so.
She's probably good she didn't, then. That would have been illegal.
And today, she has started a feminist club at her high school.
Oh, it has successfully begun.
She started it, and today they had their first meeting.
Nice.
And
because when last we spoke on it, she was trying and having difficulty.
And yes, I don't know why I don't know what was going on there. But it finally got approved, and she had her first meeting today. And that went really well. So that's pretty cool. That's good news.
My a friend of mine in high school who was slightly older than us, not like by a bunch, but he turned 18 a fair bit before when the rest of us were still 17, to celebrate, he went out and purchased all the things you have to be 18 to purchase, which in Oregon is tobacco, lottery tickets, and porn. So he went and got himself some cigars, a scratch-it ticket, and a porn magazine. And scratched off the ticket, I presume, and did not win. And did nothing with the others. But he's just like, I want to exercise my right to do it. Because he doesn't smoke or anything either. He's like, I just wanted to be able to buy them.
Okay.
And I went in and I showed him my ID and I bought the stuff.
Right,
I don't
then.
Think I did that, but it made tremendous sense to me at the time. I did, on my 21st birthday, I was in college. Which means by my 21st birthday, I was quite familiar with alcohol already. And in fact, for my 21st birthday, I went to a bar I had been to many times and got less drunk than I had gotten many other times. Mm. But the point was, I only allowed people to come with me who were 21 or older. And we went after midnight on my 21st birthday, and I showed them my ID, and we all showed them our ID. Because normally, it's a thing, you know, you come in a group, and oh, who's old, you know, can they go up, or do you think this... And there's this weird sort of tension of, are we going to get away with it kind of thing. And this time I want to be, nope, we are just grown-ups, legally old enough to drink, and we're going to do so. And we did, and it was a really fun night.
Yeah, that's fairly typical for 21-year-olds in college to do that.
My sister...
I didn't, of course, but...
My sister went out that night and apparently way overdid it, because all I remember is the relatives came for her birthday and all of her favorite foods my mother made, and she was so hungover and sick that I believe she just had a little Jell-O. She was sitting at the head of the table looking terrible and just had a little bit of Jell-O.
Yeah, 21 meant absolutely nothing to me, and I...
Oh, you didn't even buy lottery tickets? Because in Iowa, 21's the age for lottery tickets.
No, I didn't. I don't buy lottery tickets.
Clearly.
It's gambling.
He's never even had a sip of lottery ticket his whole life, by sheer coincidence.
Yeah, so, whatever. How'd your week go?
My week was very similar to yours.
Really?
Not at all.
There was someone in your house who turned 18?
Yes. Lives in the crawl space. We never gave him a name, but no. My week, I think I am just about over my illness, finally. Taking some doing.
You sound better.
Yes, I feel better. I am off the meds except an occasional cough drop. And the producer is just about better as well. She wasn't quite as well as she thought she was. By Sunday night, she was kind of wiped from this weekend. The sister-in-law came to visit us, and they hung out together, and she got very tired. We went to roller derby on Saturday, the last bout of the season. The Halloween-themed one, the Monsters Brawl. And the neighbor children went for the first time ever, the 3-year-old and the 5-year-old. They had a lot of fun that appeared to have very little to do with the roller derby. And we won. We won big.
Really?
It was like the old days before we joined the league. We really kind of mopped the floor with the other team. The other team tried real hard, and they did well. They made it over 100 points, but we were like 280-something.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're really learning. It's very cool. Our team has started bridging.
Yeah, you talked about that last time.
Well, I talked about seeing that at the tournament.
Oh.
But our team is doing it now and doing it somewhat effectively.
Good.
And I was very impressed with that. And it's just neat. This was essentially their 5th anniversary as a team.
Yeah.
And by my calculations, the producer and I have been fans and going to bouts for about 4 of those years.
Oh.
And it's really interesting to see them... see how they have improved.
Yeah.
And see how individuals have improved. And it was just very cool. And after 4 years of this, I finally got some swag, some gear with their stuff on it. I never did before because I'm like, they don't make the shirts big enough.
Mm.
And then the bout before this, Trish pointed out they make other things like bandanas and sometimes mm-hmm. they have flags and stuff like that. So I now have two different bandanas that have their logo on them, and I wore one at the thing. So now I feel better.
Cool.
Spouting gear. I may, for next season, even make signs.
Really?
You know, I'm kind of known by a lot of the team at this point because I tend to stand out and I tend to yell a lot and I've talked with a lot of them and stuff. So they recognize me there and stuff. So yeah, I figure maybe it's about time for that. I finished Assassin's Creed 3, finally.
You know what about Assassin's Creed?
What?
The Batman game, the one we're going to be talking about tonight.
Arkham Origins.
Yeah. Is being written by a couple of the guys who wrote some of those. Like the first one, the second one, and the third one. Because Paul Dini wrote the first two games.
Okay.
But the third one is written by... Do you know the guy's names?
Not a clue, no.
Because they have their own little company. That's one of those things that I'll have a little cheat card when I'm talking to Scott tonight. I'll say, oh, this guy and this guy wrote it, not Paul Dini. Oh, yeah.
And then saves it for a different podcast.
Well, it's not... I don't remember.
Yes.
See, I don't have my note cards with me.
Maybe you should bring your note cards for the other podcasts here.
No, because...
Just for such an emergency.
Anyway, so how was it?
It was good. I don't know why I keep being surprised about being surprised. I know, it gets kind of meta. Every Assassin's Creed... Spoiler alert. Every Assassin's Creed game ends with something that makes you go, what?
Yeah, you mentioned that before.
Every single one. And this one still got me. I was still like, seriously? Oh my god! But I finished it a full week before the next one comes out, which means I had completed all the games I intended to play in the series that had come out up to this point. So I went to the wiki and just went crazy looking around at like all the bits and pieces I had, or bits from spin-offs and stuff like that. And so that was kind of cool. I got some more insight there. No, I was very pleased. Unlike the other games, I will. This is just a tip for people who play Assassin's Creed 3. In many of the Assassin's Creed games, as in many other games out there, once it's done, you can continue playing. Like this game, once the credits roll and everything, you find yourself back in your animus-based character, your historical character. And you can finish going around and, like, finish side missions, finish collectibles, that kind of stuff. For people who really need to get all of those feathers. Feather collecting is a thing, I don't know. And it never leads to anything useful. It's like an achievement or whatever. But in this one, uniquely, there are actually main plotline missions that appear afterwards that are essentially epilogue missions. And some of them are little cute things of not much significance, and some of them are kind of enlightening. So I would recommend people, after you beat it, go back and check that out in Assassin's Creed 3. I haven't really started anything else. I'm probably going to start Galactic Civilizations next. I want to play something sci-fi to get me back in with the game. Speaking of which, we haven't met for the game. Still, it's been like 6 weeks now.
Really?
This time it was a sudden, that afternoon, need for two of my players to head to their parents because one of them who was in hospice was dying. And unfortunately, they did not make it in time.
Oh.
But they are there now to help the survivor. And
well, I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was very... It's sad, but it's also it's been fairly long and drawn out, so I'm hoping that they'll get some closure on this now. But
yeah, it's really rough when someone's sick. I mean, you know, my mom was sick for a long time. That's really hard.
Yeah, I had that with my aunt and stuff. It's a little different being so removed. it's easy for me to sort of forget about it when I'm far enough away, kind of thing. But, yeah. Anyway, so that's that. I also saw a... Wait. I don't think we've dropped any more TV shows. We've got all the same ones. I saw a movie.
What'd you see?
Last night. R.I.P.D.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Was it any good? I'd forgotten it was even going to be out.
Oh, it's come and gone. This was on demand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, it came and went very fast. I don't remember exactly. Something was bad such that, like, before it even came out, it was gonna... Like, it was destined to not do well in the box office, but then it also didn't get particularly good reviews. Not good. But here's the thing. Kind of refreshing in that it's just not good. Like, it's not... It wasn't horrible. It wasn't... It didn't offend me particularly. It didn't have gross incompetence. Like, there were decent special effects. Nobody was a particularly bad actor. You know, it was fine. Just didn't get... Just boring. Just just forgettable. Just throw away. If you've seen, you know, Men in Black, you got it 90% covered.
Well, yeah.
The remaining 10% is sort of like a combination of Dead Like Me and the Constantine movie, maybe. But, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, you could tell all that just from the preview.
Yeah, yeah, that was the thing. I was like, this looks like Supernatural Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was that sort of thing. And, I mean, and yeah, the characters had some chemistry. It was fine. I mean, I wasn't upset having seen it. I don't want my money back. But, yeah, I think the producer fell asleep during part of it. I mean, it just wasn't... It was just, who cares?
It's probably one of those things, though, that, you know, since you pointed out that, you know, technically it had its bases covered or whatever,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
probably one of those things that if it strikes a personal chord with you, you know, if you just really like the idea of RIPD, well, then you'll probably
But that gets a little tricky because RIPD is an actual property. It's an actual comic series.
Oh, okay.
So if you really like it, you probably like that. And as we all know, if you really like a comic book, a movie based on them, you're probably going to hate.
Yeah, that's sometimes true.
I
guess I was just talking about if you weren't aware of the comic
book or anything, just the concept.
This was a clever idea. Or if you like the actors in particular.
Yes. For example, actually, to early me and Constantine, I really liked the movie of Constantine. After seeing it, I went on to read a great many of the Hellblazer comics, and I now get why people didn't like it.
Okay.
But taking it as something completely unrelated to those comics, I still think it's a decent movie.
Okay.
Yeah, the comics had not just that it wasn't accurate, but the comics just had something that movie wasn't in the slightest. They weren't the same thing. But yeah, so that kind of that, and the concept in Constantine appealed to me. So yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, you're not gonna be causing yourself any pain to watch it. If you want to see a special effects action movie kind of thing someday, and you're sitting around like it's on cable, you know, go for it. It's fine. But honestly, it was really kind of refreshing. It was just normally mediocre. It was just solidly boring, mediocre film.
Okay.
And I haven't had one of those in a while. Doesn't pass the Bechdel test. Doesn't even close. But doesn't have anything particularly misogynist or pissing me off. So that was nice.
You know, it seems like we watch stuff all the time, and I just never remember when I come over here. Mostly because I...
Almost Human is pushed back, by the way.
It is?
2 weeks.
I mean, it's already November.
Yeah, it was November 4th. Now it's November 17th, I believe.
Because I still want to see it. I mean...
Oh, yeah, no, totally. And you got to watch out, because its normal time slot's going to be Monday, but its premiere is going to be Sunday, and then it's going to have another episode
two-day premiere. Whatever.
It's something... AV Club had a thing. It's something where there's some other show that it wants it to get a good ramp-up in the time slot before it switches or something. I don't even remember. It's going to be back-to-back with with Sleepy Hollow, I believe, eventually. Which I'm still enjoying. I still like Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, I mean... Because, like, I
Castle still sucks.
I saw...
But I'm watching.
What's that movie with Tom Cruise that I saw? And I didn't even talk about it until you brought it up, because I forgot, totally forgot seeing it.
Oblivion.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, one of these days...
Are you saying you saw a movie this week that you're not talking about?
I might have, and I don't remember.
Oh, my God. There's, like... You got brain damage.
No, I just... If it doesn't... If I don't really like it or think it's really groundbreaking or something, I'm not going to remember it.
I instigated the Grahamocalypse in Cookie Clicker.
You did?
I did.
What happened?
Grahamocalypse.
Right, but did it, like, crash the game or something?
No, it's really not that exciting. Because I went to the wiki and I looked up a bunch of stuff. Because now I'm just, like, filling out all the last achievements and stuff, and I'm probably going to reset the game and play a little more to get a couple more achievements before I get sick of it. I am getting close to the end, though, but... no, I said it, like, three times.
Yes, you did.
Apparently that was all.
Even kind of close together. And now you can't...
Grahamocalypse. I like Grahamageddon, but apparently it's officially called Grahamocalypse.
Oh, so you just made up Grahamageddon?
No, I think the producer did.
Oh.
Or maybe she looked on some forms and some people said that.
Well, that's a lot better.
It's way easier to say than...
And more clever.
Grahamocalypse.
Because, I mean, Grahamageddon, I mean, you know, that actually fits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Grahamocalypse, no. That doesn't... I guess a little bit, but...
I think... I feel like Grahamocalypse is more clever because I feel like the Geddon thing is a little played out.
Well, I suppose.
You can take anything and stick Geddon on the end. To be fair, Grandma fits really well. No, what happens is the you get a status of the elder matriarchs, who are things like angered or displeased or whatever, and this affects whether the golden cookies come out as golden cookies or red cookies. And red cookies don't necessarily do good things for you. Sometimes they do bad things for you. Of course, like, half the time they still do good things for you. And not that big a deal. So, you know, whatever. But there's things...
So, like, with the normal workforce. Well,
exactly.
Sometimes when you really make your workforce mad, they'll steal some toilet paper,
exactly,
or other office supplies.
Exactly.
But for the most part, you get the work out
and
of them.
There's
and
a lot of, there's a bunch
the
of cosmetic
time.
Stuff on the screen that looks way creepier when Grahamocalypse happens. And, like, the little fake headlines change to creepier things. And then there's things you can purchase that, like, appease the elder matriarchs for certain periods of time and stuff like that. And I'm doing that right now because, again, if you do it a certain number of times or you do certain ones, you get other achievements. So, but then I'll reset, get a couple other achievements, and then I should be set.
Okay.
Then I should be tired of it.
Nothing like a little age-ploitation in your...
Age-ploitation.
In your game.
Is that a real word?
It is now.
Age-ploitation. Did I tell you about the weird nun softcore porn I discovered like a week or two ago?
Well, if you did, I forgot.
It was weird,
and I will
because
forget again.
It was really...
Not that you should go ahead and tell me about
intricate.
It.
Intricate. Like, somebody put a lot of time and effort
it.
Into it.
Okay.
Like, it had a whole story, and, like, there was some fairly serious philosophical discussions and, like, metaphoric imagery and weird stuff. Like it was a serious, like, film that was clearly just softcore porn, because in between it was just scenes of softcore porn. It was very weird. Good, I think. I think I liked it, but it was just odd.
Okay.
It was very odd. Called Sacred Flesh, if anybody ever wants to check it out. It's on Netflix. Go for it. And you don't have to tell anybody publicly like I did about it, but it's very weird, interesting. But it's definitely softcore porn, so, you know, be warned.
Maybe the person who wrote the script was hoping it would be more, you know.
But it's not, you know, like, people will say, oh, this was so tawdry and had so much nudity, it was more. No, like, this, like, is clear, like, all the nuns are still wearing, like, lipstick and have their nails painted and stuff. Like,
okay, but like, I'm saying the person, no question. The person who wrote the script might have hoped for something not that. And then, you know, they see the production and this, oh, you know, my script was so poignant and sensitive and you did this.
This
instead.
Is like when Peter Sagal wrote the Cuban romance political script that ended up being Dirty Dancing 2.
Kind of. Here's another thing that I'm sure our listeners will understand. If I wrote a nice, what I thought existentially powerful and poignant script, and then you decided to direct it and thought, hey, this would make good softcore porn, it'd be like that. And I just wrote it, and I just gave it to you to work on. It's like, oh, I really can't wait to see what Tony does with this. And then we go to a screening, and you're like, oh, this is awesome, because it's, you know.
Softcore. We should do that.
No.
We should totally
no,
do that.
No.
Can
no.
you write a script for me?
I can, but...
I'll make some calls. I know some people. This would be awesome.
No, that would not be... Because what we'd get is exactly what you described in that whole nun thing.
And I think I liked it.
No.
I think you could write an awesome porn accidentally. I don't think you could on purpose. I think you could accidentally write a really good porn.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
If you would like
but
to
I don't
see
want to,
William's accidental porn.
It wouldn't be my accidental porn. It would be something I've written that you figured out how to turn into.
Yes, so yours that was you didn't intend it, but by accident.
No.
No, no, it's not.
I'm not
I don't
in
think
it.
You could have heard of that, but the producer in the background said, who's going to play William in the movie? No, the porn would not have William in it. Although
no, let's not even go there.
Yeah, that no. You know this episode's going to be called William's Accidental Porn.
No, come
it
on.
It can't not be.
All right, whatever, but
no, William would not be in it. William would write a lovely, multifaceted, nuanced script which I would largely stay true to.
No, I have no doubt.
Intersperse it with
I have no doubt,
hot simulated sex.
I have no doubt that you would stay completely true to it, but the women would have makeup and paint and nails,
and
they'd have these really corny sex
so,
scenes.
So
and
basically
stuff
it would be Game of Thrones.
Yeah, someone's already done it. Somebody's already done it. That's how we know it'll work.
Can we get Peter Dinklage involved one way or another? I just think.
You're right, though. You're absolutely right.
Speaking of which, if anybody has any knowledge as to when the hell Knights of Badassdom is going to come out in a way that people can actually see it, let me know. I really want to see that movie. All right. We got like 10 minutes left, so we probably should draw something out of that. Mm-hmm. But do not fear, people. Because right after this will be another hour that will be much more question-focused. Now, you'll have to wait a week to hear it, but still. What do we got?
Anon.
Anonymous, which means somebody wished to remain anonymous, or somebody forgot to sign their email in the body of the email, because that's a requirement unless you're Mark.
Topic request.
Yeah.
Movie soundtracks.
Sorry, I wasn't shocked by a topic request. Literally, as you said that, as he jumped at me.
Topic request. Movie soundtracks, are they worth listening to? Well, it really depends on what the soundtrack is.
Well, and this is a thing I have constantly struggled with in my life, because there are movie soundtracks, and then there is music from the movie, which is a different thing.
Can be a very different thing, yeah.
And sometimes even music inspired by
oh no when you say
the movie.
Music from the movie, yes, that is a very different thing.
Yes,
to me, I mean, when I go to buy a soundtrack, I'm looking for the score. I'm not looking for the properties that they acquired and paid royalties for to play in the movie on a jukebox. That's not what I want.
Yes.
I want the score,
and generally that is the case, and sometimes they are one and the same.
Sometimes you get a little bit of both.
It was a little more true in the 70s and 80s when sometimes they would do things. Well, but it happened now. Tron Legacy. Tron Legacy, the most recent Tron movie. Daft Punk did all the stuff for it, and there were specific singles in it, but there was also plenty of other stuff, and they just did the whole soundtrack. In general, I would agree with you. There are exceptions. I have difficulty nowadays with the old movie Legend. The soundtrack came out for Legend, and it was very specific tracks, some of which were background tracks, some of which were pop tracks that were done largely by Tangerine Dream. And that soundtrack is very difficult to find now. You can find the orchestral score that was used in other parts, but I actually want the one with the Tangerine Dream songs in it.
Well, and yeah, and to be honest, we saw Toy Story 2 recently that has an outstanding soundtrack. And what I would really love to do is just be able to sit down and hear the soundtrack from basically beginning to end, exactly the way it was in the movie even. And but, of course, in the middle, you've got Sarah McLachlan singing a little song, and I'd want
that in there,
too. But, yeah, I...
And that happens rarer nowadays. That used to happen a little bit more. That it would, like, it bordered on just being the audio of the film minus the dialogue. I think they do that with the Lord of the Rings ones, maybe?
Don't know.
People are big fans of those. I've heard them, but not, like, sat down and consciously, like, heard them.
You know, something else I really love to listen to is, some orchestras have taken the scores from Warner Brothers cartoons.
Yes.
And they play them exactly the way the score was written. So, with the pauses and the little instrumental pieces that are sound effects, you know?
Yeah.
And so you just listen to it, and it's fascinating to listen to all by itself, and how cool it is that you know what's going on. I mean, if you've watched Warner Brothers cartoons, you could almost guess, okay, this is a Roadrunner cartoon. I can tell because this is going on, you know, and then this happens. And so it's really fun to listen to. And of course, I forget the guy's name who composed all these, but he would borrow from, you know, there's lots of actual classical pieces and a lot of cartoon soundtracks, you know. I like listening to those a lot, if you can find them.
So what... Are your favorite old, not old, but I mean your favorite movie soundtracks?
We've talked about this before because I felt boring about coming up with, like, you know, John Williams and.
Well, do you have any that people would not necessarily expect?
I don't.
That are lesser known.
See, no, I don't think so. Danny Elfman, you know, I mean, I like the ones that everybody likes. I'm boring that way. I mean, not because everybody likes them, but I just happen to like those, and everybody else does, too.
I have listened to a lot of soundtrack. Growing up, I listened to quite a few.
Well, maybe if I think about it.
One of my favorites of all time, and I still have it on... The problem is I had all these on cassette, and so now I have to locate them again, and sometimes they're hard to find. But one that I really loved was Rain Man. Rain Man, I mean, people knew it had the one song, My Grandma and Your Grandma Sitting By, like, the Aiko Aiko song. Everybody knew that. And it had a few old classic pieces, Stardust and stuff like that. But the actual original pieces written for it were gorgeous. They were very much sort of a product of the time, but I really loved, there was some great instrumental stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It seems like we had, my brother Scott had the Natural soundtrack, but I could swear that John Williams did that too or something, so that's not, maybe not.
The big ones, John Williams, Hans Zimmer, and one that's a little lesser known now, but Randy Edelman did a lot of good ones. Randy Edelman did Come See the Paradise, which used to be one of my favorite movies. He did that one because it is a World War II film. It's half his great orchestral pieces and half old 1940s songs, which was really cool. And because it actually deals a lot with the Japanese-American population, it also has a few really interesting old, like, Japanese, like, sounds like it's on a phonograph kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple... There's a couple that are from, there's a set where they're at basically what's like a supper club with a full big band,
right.
And they're doing it in Japanese. So there's a couple of sort of like big band numbers in Japanese, which are really fascinating.
Well, I am the kind of person, when I go to a film, I can be really affected by the soundtrack, and I can leave saying, wow, that soundtrack was awesome, or gosh, that soundtrack really ruined the movie.
I have that too.
I'm definitely that kind of person, but I have a hard time remembering specific films. But while you were talking just then, I remembered that I thought the soundtrack to Kung Fu Panda was so good.
Really?
Oh, man. I really thought it was great. And I love listening to the music when I watch that film.
If you can handle the 80s-ness of it, the soundtrack to Lady Hawk is incredible.
Yeah, I seem to recall that.
Alan Parsons composing... And his band working with the London Philharmonic.
Oh, I like the soundtrack to...
It's amazing stuff.
I like the soundtrack to The Truman Show.
Really?
Yeah, Philip Glass, and it's got a lot of cool stuff in there. It's really good. I've listened to that lots of times.
I listened to a lot of soundtracks.
Oh, and video game soundtracks are really good, too.
Some of those can be really nice.
Beyond Good and Evil had a great soundtrack.
Yes, actually, Beyond Good and Evil had some really good stuff.
It was really hard to find that. And, of course, one video game that was really popular for its soundtrack was Myst soundtracks were really popular, mm-hmm. And I have a few of those.
The Assassin's Creed ones are pretty good. I should see if I can locate those. I like them.
Well, and let's see. The soundtrack for, the Elder Scrolls games is actually... And, for the newest one...
Skyrim.
Yeah, for Skyrim. Wow.
Is it good?
Excellent.
A lot
Excellent.
Of the games I'll pick up, like, on good old games especially, comes with their soundtrack, and I always think that's a good sign. Like, when I got Witcher, I also have now the MP3, I think, of its soundtrack. I feel like there's lots of good ambient fantasy ones, so I get a little tired of that. I'm like, I want things more vigorous, less pastoral, you know, because I feel that way about the Lord of the Rings one, too. I'm like, it just, yes, you can play it as the background at a Renaissance fair, but there's so many of them like that. I'm like, I like the other ones. Babylon 5 made some really great musical soundtracks. You could get soundtracks for the separate seasons on that.
I think...
And they had some really good stuff there.
I think, this question's asking about movie soundtracks, but I think game soundtracks are... frequently overlooked. Some great, great stuff.
Yeah, there's been some amazing ones.
And not just amazing in terms of what they're putting together, but, you know, someone composing a score for a video game has to do it in such a unique and challenging way.
You have to, yeah. Well, the same way like writing for a video game.
Yeah.
You have to be flexible and make sure it's going to work for however it's approached.
But it seems like the soundtrack in a video game, there's, like you said, you have to write it a particular way, but no matter how smartly you write it, there's going to be things that are disjointed, and characters are going to show up that's, oh, I thought he was dead, you know, because they don't make it jive early. But the soundtracks seem like they're always right. So it's like having that in the background working all the time and always... having tense music at a tense moment, and then, you know, the music doesn't just stop. It might fade out, and other music fades in. Sorry, I hit the microphone.
I knew you were going to do it.
I'm gesturing with my hands here, and I hit the microphone. But I think that takes the things that are almost inevitably disjointed in the game, and it smooths them out, that background soundtrack being so well put together. And I would think it would be a real challenge as the composer, and then as the editor to make that happen.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, I think that's a big thing. I'm becoming more and more aware of the power of editing.
Oh, geez, yeah. That's where a lot of storytelling gets done in the editing room. Yeah. Lots of it.
I especially notice it in games. Every once in a while, I'm consciously aware that I'm very emotionally invested in a scene or in a situation, and that it's partially because of the music.
Oh, geez, yeah. I mean,
I got that a lot in Assassin's Creed stuff. I'm like, this part isn't more exciting than the part before, but the music is, and so I'm more excited.
Well,
here.
Well, like I was talking about Kung Fu Panda. There's a moment when
Bo.
Yeah, he's talking to.
You were gonna say Jack Black.
No, I was trying to remember his name. But he's talking to the mystical turtle character whose name I can't remember. And it's a pretty good conversation and everything, but it's clear that the music really adds emotional weight. Yeah. The animation's exceptional too, don't get me wrong, but without that soundtrack, I mean, that scene would not just have the emotional punch that it has. I mean, soundtracks are so important, and you know, people really overlook them a lot. So, I mean, do I think they're worth listening to? Sure. Yeah. I come out of a movie or a video game, and I'll always notice the soundtrack and whether or not it helped the film or hurt it. Like, in another soundtrack thing that I sometimes talk about is in one of the best superhero scenes in film so far is, for me, is when in the first Iron Man movie, when Tony Stark is first learning how to fly with the suit.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. I mean, you know, you feel the wonder of that moment. And that's hard to do.
Yep.
Lots of films have tried to do it and failed, including Man of Steel. But, wow. But
I'm a sucker for those dramatic moments. I've discovered.
What hurts that scene, though, is the music is not good.
Yeah,
as soon as he's flying off and everything, I mean, this is a moment for some nice orchestral score to complement it or something, and they just have some pop sounding thing behind it that doesn't make any sense to the mood.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, this scene so works so well. Just imagine what it could have gone totally over the top if they'd had a better soundtrack.
I've discovered sort of recently, because
right
accidentally, I just bought an album. Ellie Goulding's latest one is actually her recently released one that's like twice as many tracks on it. Really enjoying it. And there was one track I really loved, and I'm like, I know this track. I've seen it in like a movie trailer or something. I know this track. Only today did I finally figure out it was the music in the trailer for God of War Ascension. And that's the thing. I just need a compilation of the tracks that they use in movie trailers, because those tracks are meant to be emotionally manipulative, and I am a sucker for those.
Well, some of them are really good.
They usually are. That's the thing.
Like Arcade Fire. I don't remember the name of the song, but they used it in the trailer for the story with Max and the monsters and where the wild things are.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
They used it. Oh wow.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, it was very appropriate. Well, and one of the really powerful themes in the soundtrack for Come See the Paradise has been used in like a dozen since then. Because I remember the first place I remember seeing it, and this is the first time I ever encountered it, was there was a trailer for the movie School Ties. And they were using that music, and I had seen Come See the Paradise at least a dozen times. I owned the soundtrack, and so I remember going, wait a second, they stole this! And that was the first time I was aware that they put music in trailers that isn't necessarily in the film. Before then, when I would see a trailer and like the music, I would think I need to buy the soundtrack because of that. So I've only learned that. We need to wrap up. We are over time, and we are about to do another one because we don't want a podcast on Halloween.
No.
So... thank you, Anonymous, and everybody write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and if you wait around for about 10 minutes, we'll be back. For us. For you, it'll be a week. So, guess you have to suffer.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.